Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you so much, Marlon. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. The lines are really filling up. This is the first time we have had Rick Green on with us. I'm really excited about having him because I've heard him in a variety of different conferences, and I always learn more from him, and I'm always inspired and uplifted by him and what God is doing with Patriot Academy as well. So let me say a word of prayer as always, and then we'll bring him right on. And, of course, you all know as he's speaking, press star 6 to get in queue, and that way when he's done, we can come right to your questions. So let us pray. Father, we are so grateful. Grateful for this wonderful country, Lord. We're about to celebrate 250 years of America's existence, and we know that America has not lasted 250 years because we're such great people. It's lasted 250 years because you are such a wonderful and the great, the only true and living God, and you have blessed us and had mercy upon us and walked with us through some of our weakest moments and some of the worst moments of our history. But because our founding fathers laid ancient landmarks that we have continued to hold fast to, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we are all created equal by you, and that our liberty and our rights come from you, not from man. And Lord, that marker was not only a legal and a military justification for the Revolutionary War, but it was a spiritual and cultural marker for our nation, and one that we continue to hold fast to today. But there are forces at work that desperately want to upend those markers and desperately want to separate us from that legacy. Thank you so much for the patriots on this call. Thank you for our guest speaker, Rick Green, Lord, who are holding to those ancient landmarks which our fathers have set. And as we prepare to celebrate 250 years, help us, Lord, to reinforce and reinvigorate and restore those foundational principles which made our country the greatest nation in the history of mankind. We're so grateful for what you've done. We still believe that the best is yet to come. And so, Father, we put this call into your hands, and we put the future of our nation into your hands. We pray for Patriot Academy, who has done such wonderful things to educate Americans about something about which too many are completely ignorant, which is the Constitution of the United States and the history of our country. Continue to bless them, Lord, to reach more and more Americans and help more and more Americans to appreciate why we are blessed, rather than listening to those who would denigrate and destroy, really, this constitutional republic that you've given us. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we march on toward victory, because we know that the victory's already been won through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Well, folks, again, thank you all for joining us. Look, our guest speaker is someone you probably know already. If you don't, you certainly should, because he has been a force for constitutional education and patriotism in this country much longer than I've known him, frankly. I've had the privilege of getting to meet him a few times in the last couple of years, but have always admired the work he's done. So we're going to turn the floor over to him and let him say whatever he wants to by way of introduction. We sent out his bio. You can read that. We won't take more time with that. We want to give him the floor and let him speak to you. And then, of course, press star 6 to get in queue to ask any questions you might have. Brother Rick, it is a pleasure. It's an honor to have you on, man. I really admire what you're doing and really appreciate you taking time out of what I know is a very busy schedule to spend a little time with us. The floor is yours.
Hey, brother. I'd spend time with you anywhere. I appreciate the chance to be with you and sharpen a little iron and a little countenance together. And so many things you said in that prayer that just sparked something in me. You know, even right at the end, as you're talking about the, in my mind, what I heard, you know, the lack of gratitude for what we have as a nation, and you know, to begin to recognize that again. Of course, we're seeing a lot of the lack of gratitude, even in some of these, you know, Winter Olympic athletes that are, you know, competing under the American flag and then dissing on the American flag and the American people and the American story. And it's just it's human nature, right? We ain't nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said, and Moses dealt with the same thing, of course, with people that had literally had God showing up for them and performing miracles in front of their eyes, and they still complained. So I guess we shouldn't be shocked at it, but it is, I think, from a lack of knowledge. It is we are perishing for a lack of knowledge, and we do have such a great story as a nation. Of course, the Bible tells us over and over and over again, remember the former days. And then Ronald Reagan warned us 40 years ago in his farewell address, if we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. He said, of an eradication of the American memory that will lead to an erosion of the American spirit. And so when you have even our Olympic athletes speaking poorly of our country and they have no American spirit, it's because they don't know who we are as a nation. It's because they have an erosion of the American memory. And even worse than not telling the good stuff, we've just taught the bad stuff or even exaggerated the bad stuff and made it as if America is one of the worst nations in history when you actually tell the whole story, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the sins and the terrible things that we've done along with the good, and you compare that to every other nation in the history of mankind, it's actually the greatest story of any nation other than the children of Israel in the history of mankind. And a nation that's done more good and had more of a positive impact on the planet and the world, freed more people, created more just plain old household conveniences because of our economy and our free market enterprise system, a biblically based system that allows you to put in your elbow grease and your hard work and be rewarded for that. You know, all of those things have been a blessing, not just to America, but to the world, and even being able to export a constitutional republic form of government to other nations. And it's a shame that we don't teach that in our schools. But I do sense a turning, Bishop. I think there is something special happening in our culture right now. It unfortunately is coming to a head, so it's more painful in some ways, and the things we see in Minneapolis and other places around the country kind of show that. But I do think it's a healthy thing that we are waking up and that people are realizing this is a nation worth fighting for. These values are unique and special and biblical, and they did produce this incredible story. And so now we have an opportunity. You mentioned it in your prayer. I mean, this is the 250th. It's an incredible window of opportunity where we have this special moment. Actually, the last part of Reagan's address there, he said we need more civic ritual. Well, the 250th is a great opportunity for civic ritual where we actually remind ourselves of what we're celebrating in this 250th year of our nation's history. Remind ourselves of what we're celebrating in terms of the Declaration that we are celebrating the 250th birthday of. And exactly as you said in your prayer, you know, the Declaration lays it out. We're endowed by our Creator, not our commissioners, not our governor, not our Congress, not our Constitution. We are endowed by our Creator. And that changes everything, because now, unlike the Russian Constitution or many of these other constitutions in history, and even some nations that had a relative level of freedom, unlike them, our freedom does not come from even a mutual agreement. It doesn't come from, we don't bestow it upon each other because we got together and decided, you know what, this will be a better way to live and to treat each other. No, we recognize these are freedoms given by God. And the only reason we have government is the next line, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So the whole reason government exists is to protect the freedom that God gave to us. And when we recognize that, we get back to this constitutional republic idea that says, okay, if that's the only reason government exists, then the only thing government should do are those things that would secure these rights. And those things should only be what we the people give it the power to do, which is why it says at the end of that sentence, consent of the governed. So all of these phrases, we kind of recognize them. We've heard them. Maybe some of you even memorized that part of the Declaration when you were a kid, I hope. But most people in America have no idea where those phrases come from. They don't know the Declaration of Independence. So I am so excited that in the 250th, we get to teach the Declaration of Independence. And I'm trying to get people to do these celebrations on July 4th all over the country, not just this year, but next year as well, because we basically have a whole year of the 250th to celebrate. But when you do these celebrations, not just have hot dogs and fireworks and the things we typically do on July 4th, but actually blow up a big copy of the Declaration, have it read, maybe even have kids come forward and read sections of it, and then have everybody at your celebration come forward and sign the Declaration just like the founders did 250 years ago, especially for that last sentence in support of this Declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence,
we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I think having a moment like that is really special. We've done that for 25 years at Patriot Academy. When our students finish one of our programs, whether it's a three-day program in a state capital around the country or our one-week national program at our campus here in Constitution City, Texas, or our one-year program. We have a Patriot Institute now where they spend a whole year. When they finish any of these programs, we have a special ceremony where veterans come forward and ceremonially pass the torch and say, hey, I was willing to die for your freedom. Now it's time for you to go live it. And that kid actually signs the declaration, making a commitment, whatever they're going to do, whether they're going to go into the arts and do music or movies, or they're going to go into politics and government, or they're going to go into ministry, they're going to go into education, business, whatever it is, that they're going to be a good biblical citizen that gives a little bit of their life, their time, a little bit of their fortune, their money, and their sacred honor, their reputation. They're going to always be willing to give of those things in order to preserve freedom for the next generation. That is what I think can happen for millions and millions of Americans over the next year and a half during this 250th celebration. So I think we've got to seize this moment. People need to be studying the Declaration. We've got all kinds of free Constitution courses. We put about 2 million people through these courses so far. Our goal is to hit 5 million by July 4th, 2027 at the end of the 250th. And as people do these classes, one thing I promise you is it's unlike any Constitution class you've ever been through. These you will actually stay awake in. They're not boring like your typical Constitution class. They're entertaining. But most importantly, at the end of them, you're motivated and you're educated, and now you're empowered to go do something in your community to make a difference. And so I see this as a renewal time for our country. We have a president who is a transformational president. This is unlike anything I've experienced in my lifetime. Ronald Reagan was the closest to this, but I was a kid when Reagan was in office, and so he became kind of my political godfather because I watched every one of his speeches as I got into college, and I just became enamored with his ability to communicate complex ideas in simple terms so that I could understand them. And I even named a kid after Reagan and have another one born on his birthday. So Reagan was a transformational president in many ways, restored patriotism, rebuilt the military, all those things. But President Trump is essentially 40 years later doing much of the same thing, restoring patriotism, rebuilding the military. But one of the things, and cutting taxes as Reagan did, but Reagan had three big goals: cut taxes, cut spending, and rebuild patriotism in the military. He accomplished the cutting of the taxes that led to the greatest peacetime economic expansion in history. He rebuilt the military and patriotism, but wasn't able to cut any spending. In fact, the budget tripled, even though revenue had doubled. That's why we ended up starting to move into deficits. Of course, the Democrats had Congress at the time, and that's part of the reason that ended up the way it did. But Trump, on the other hand, has a real opportunity to do all three. He's already done the tax cuts in his first term. He's got the patriotism being rebuilt with the 250. The White House is working with us and many others on making this, seizing this moment. One of my prayers, and I would encourage this to everybody on this call to be praying for this, is that he brings Elon Musk back, that they do the Doge cuts, that they actually cut the spending and reduce the size of the government. And frankly, not just in terms of money that it's spending, but the things that it's spending money on. When we see all these fraudulent, Somali daycares and all these other things that have been revealed, there's an uncovering of corruption right now. The sunlight, as Bill Bennett used to say, is the best disinfectant. We're seeing all of these things, but we shouldn't just say, well, we'll have a better administration that doesn't do that, allow for the fraud in these departments. We should be saying, why are we doing those things in the first place? Why is the federal government involved in daycare? Why is the federal government involved in housing? Why is the federal government involved in all of these things that the Constitution does not mention? The Constitution leaves all of those things to the states and the local people. So it doesn't mean that you'll get rid of all corruption when you bring it local, but it'll be less because you have better, hands-on and eyes-on, and it's not this massive, gargantuan federal government that, all these empty buildings with these bureaucrats getting paid, but yet they're not even coming to work. You can at least reduce that when you get it back to the local level. So that's why the founders, specifically in the Constitution, only gave the federal government 17 things. That's it. And so when we talk about the role of government, our rights, our responsibilities that come with those rights, we have a chance to reset the table and actually do what Reagan tried to do 40 years ago and reduce the size of government as well. I'm not saying Elon Musk has to come back for that to happen, but boy, it sure would help. But they discovered a lot of the things that need to be cut, the most important thing to happen is for the American people to actually once again study civics and understand jurisdictions of government. What's the role of the church, the role of the individual, and the role of government, the role of the community, instead of thinking government's supposed to do it all. And if we can get that mindset, if we can get back to that understanding that it's limited to those things that we gave it jurisdictional power to do, that will then shrink the amount of money they spend because of shrinking what they spend money on. So I didn't mean to get too far in the weeds on that particular topic, but I think it will define the Trump presidency if he's able to pull that off. And if he doesn't, most everything else he's doing is temporary, and the next president can reverse a lot of that. So it's really important that we make this more permanent and we seize the day on this 250th. So I've rambled quite a while here, covered some various ground. I would love to talk about what y'all want to talk about for the last half of our call, whether you want to ask questions about the founders, about the faith of the founders, the principles in the Declaration of the Constitution, maybe what some of the most important things to reestablish during the 250th would be. Bishop, I'd just be glad to answer wherever everybody wants to go.
All right, great, Rick, as always. Folks, press *6 to get in queue. Well, look, let me ask you first, because I know some of the answers you will give on these history questions, and others probably want to hear them too, but tell us more about Patriot Academy. What, again, I mean, for the person on this call,
oh, yeah,
they've never been, what could we expect? How should we sign up?
Yeah.
What are the things we can do?
Yeah, think of Patriot Academy as essentially filling the gap for where our education system failed over the last 50 years. So we teach civics and the Constitution and patriotism and how to be a good citizen in your neighborhood to people of all ages. We started as just youth leadership. I was a state rep in Texas many, many years ago, and I got really frustrated with how many people would run saying I'm a conservative, then they'd vote for price fixing and all these horrible ideas. And so we said, you know what, we're going to raise up a new generation that's grounded in the LIFT principles, limited government, individual liberties, free enterprise, timeless truths. And we're going to teach them how to measure policy or politicians and everything by those biblical standards. And we did that. We started that, as I said, 25 years ago. We've been doing that in state capitals all over the country. And what we do, Bishop, we immerse them in a legislative simulation. So they are a state representative for the week, sitting in the real chair, the real floor, in the real committee rooms. But it's not just a, you know, kind of grade school functional thing. It is just like the real legislative session. In fact, when we conduct these around the country, visitors will come into the Capitol and they'll grab me. I'll be standing at the back of the room and they'll grab me and say, man, the legislators in this state sure are young, because they think it's the real deal, because you got these 18, 19, 20 year olds out there conducting it just like the real session. And then during that process, I'm teaching them how to apply the principles. So it's a very powerful learning experience. Rather than just being a lecture, you're challenging them on their bill. And I can tell when our system is working, when a kid comes, brings a bad bill because they don't know the principles yet, they're just learning, and they kill their own bill once they learn the principles, then we know it's working. But anyway, so we do this youth program. Now we do it for military veterans. Same thing. We put them into a legislative session. And by the time they're done, they say, Rick, now I know what I was fighting for. I understand how the Republic works. And I know what my next mission is. That's a really rewarding program. So if you know any military veterans or you're a military veteran on this call, go to our website, patriotacademy.com, click on Leadership Congress. That's this legislative simulation I'm talking about. And there's a military veterans one that we do that I'd love to have you be a part of. And then last thing, we've got Constitution coaches, about 32,000 of them all over the country. And they use these classes I was talking about that are fun and entertaining. And, I mean, they've got everybody in them. Charlie Kirk, Bob McEwen, David Barton, Tim Barton, Rabbi Lappin, Jeremy Boring, and all these people teaching. And it's fast-paced. It's entertaining. But the most important thing is at the end of the video, the group talks about it, and they sharpen each other's countenance, and they go take action. So we don't encourage people to take the class by themselves online. Have another, you know, family or somebody come over to your house, do it in the living room or do it at your church. We've got people doing these classes in Harley-Davidson dealerships and bait and tackle shops and libraries. I mean, everything you can imagine. And it's really exciting to see what's coming out of that. And just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we finally bought our own property and are now putting in the Patriot Institute. And that's our, you'll love this, 177.6-acre campus. That's right, 1776.
Wow.
Is exactly 177.6 acres. And we're actually creating our own city. It's Constitution City, Texas. It'll be an incorporated city in about a year, but right now it's just an unincorporated city. And we've rebuilt the Texas Legislative Chamber already, the House Chamber and Committee Room, so we conduct our trainings year-round. We're rebuilding Independence Hall. It really is the epicenter of patriotism, and everybody's invited to come down, and you can do a legislative class, you can do a handgun defense class, you can come for a July 4th celebration. PatriotAcademy.com is the website to learn more.
Wow, this is going to be an exciting year for Patriot Academy, I would imagine. Big thing.
Amen.
Yeah. I've got to get there. I haven't visited the campus yet, but I'm looking forward to doing that. Why is it that we hear so many politicians, is it just ignorance? Is it intentional? Refer to our democracy, our democracy, our democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a mantra for them. What is going on there? Because we are not, clearly, we were not intended or designed to be a democracy.
No. In fact, the founders hated democracy. They said it was one of the greatest of evils, that it always ends in violence. They called it mobocracy. And if you think about it, that's what the French experienced. It's what any nation after a revolution that doesn't have a constitutional republic, they usually end in violence. And so, we're even better than being a republic, which would be great, just to know that you're electing representatives to go do the hard work. You're not just taking a poll for every issue like a democracy would be. But we're a constitutional republic, which means even when we elect someone and we send them to D.C. or we send them to our state capital, we don't send them there saying, hey, do the best you can on every issue. You have blanket authority, just your best decisions. No, we send them there and say, do the best you can. Make the best decisions you can within these boundaries written down in our Constitution. So in other words, they are limited. Even our elected representatives are limited to what they can do. Now, these days, they don't follow that limitation. That's why we've got to get back to your point. So important. We've got to get back to understanding the difference between a democracy and a constitutional republic. And I think a lot of these politicians, they're really just saying little d democracy. They're just like the democratic process, and they're just ignorant. They just don't know, they don't realize that when they say that, they're instead of educating the American people and raising the civic literacy of the American people, they're actually dumbing us down and decreasing. And I actually think every problem we have is a result of the petri dish where bad government grows, which is civic and biblical ignorance. If we don't know truth, we fall for the lie. So I think as simple as that may sound to some people, saying, because I hear that all the time, Rick, why don't you get, so bothered by people saying democracy instead of constitutional republic? And I have to point out, look, that is literally the essence of what made our government special. And if you remove that difference, we end up like the French Revolution, where it's the law of the tiger and the shark. Whoever has the most power wins. This is why we've seen politicians lately, if they get the power, they weaponize these federal agencies to do things the government was never intended to do. And the big difference between what we saw with the Otto Penn administration and what President Trump is doing is ICE and Border Patrol, it's the only federal agency that is actually constitutionally empowered to do what they're doing right now. Immigration is specifically given. It's one of those 17 things given to the federal government. So they're out there enforcing the law, doing what they're supposed to be doing. Whereas we've seen past administrations quite literally give tactical teams to the Department of Education. Is that not insane? I mean, it makes no sense. They weaponize these federal agencies that shouldn't even exist in the first place. There should be no Department of Education. There should be, Department of Labor and all of these things that we've created at the federal level. But it all comes back to understanding if we're a constitutional republic, that means government is limited to what the Constitution says they can do.
Look, I know you've got people all over the country. I think you said you had 32,000 of these constitutional coaches. I don't know how many you have in Virginia, but I tell you what, we need every one of them. And
amen.
I want you to respond to this because, our new governor ran as a moderate. They have already begun to pass taxes on literally everything that moves that they could get their hands on. And they're planning to outlaw magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. They're going to outlaw what they call assault weapons, whatever that means. And all of this, in my view, is in violation of the Constitution. And so it seems like when they say democracy, what they really seem to be saying is a democracy means we can do, if we get a majority, we can do whatever we want to do. We don't have to be restricted. And those restrictions are critical to who we are as a nation, aren't they?
Amen, brother. I mean, you just nailed it. That's exactly it. They want it to be a democracy because that means once they win, whether it's by hook or by crook, they steal the election, however they get there, if they have their hands on the lever of power, they get to do anything and everything that they want, and there's no limitations. And even the examples that you gave, I mean, obviously the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And there's no exception there for the size of your, you know, the capacity of your magazine. And every time these states pass these, you know, quote unquote, high capacity magazine bans, which high capacity around here, we call that regular capacity. But when they pass these bans, what they're doing is empowering the criminal and handicapping the law abiding citizen. They're making you be limited on what you're able to defend yourself with. And the criminal, they're not going to obey that law. They're going to ignore that law. I mean, these signs, you know, no gun, you know, for gun-free zone. I mean, how many mass murderers do you know that walked up and said, oh, darn, I have to go somewhere else because this is a gun-free zone, and they don't allow them? No, that's exactly where they go because they know that the people have been disarmed in that area, and they're not going to have anybody shooting back at them. We've heard story after story of these mass murders that would drive past the movie theaters that allowed concealed carry to get to the one that didn't, and that type of thing. So it's just ignorance, but it's also, I think, evil. I think it's not, you know, a lot of them, it's based in ignorance, but then some of them, they really do want to create chaos in our country. And so anyway, your point is exactly right, man. If we reestablish the constitutional republic, it limits government. And when they get in power, even if they're going to do things we disagree with, they would be limited in how much they could do. And it would be, you know, it would be within those policies. So, you know, take, for instance, I mean, the Constitution does allow, there is a constitutional power to borrow money. So even though I would love to see a balanced budget amendment passed where they can't go into debt anymore, they are allowed to go into debt. So if a congressman gets elected and they vote to go into debt, they are still within their constitutional power to do that. But if they vote to spend the money that they're borrowing on something like education or the Department of Labor, some of these unconstitutional areas, now they're actually doing something that's unconstitutional. If we understood the Republic and the constitutional Republic and understood the Constitution, at least when they spend that money and they borrow, it would be within the boundaries of the things that they're allowed to spend on, like military and that sort of thing.
And look, we're almost out of time, and I guess people are just fascinated by what you have to say, but before we close out and give you a chance to tell people exactly how to get in touch with you and plug in, talk to us a little bit too about, I mean, the whole point of the restrictions on government is to secure the liberty of the people.
That's right. That's right. You know, and without those restrictions, your liberty we'll come back to the Second Amendment. I mean, Joseph Story was one of the two fathers of American jurisprudence, served on the Supreme Court for nearly three decades, gave most of the opinions while he was on there. And he talked about the fact that once you get rid of the restrictions on government and you start allowing government to restrict our liberty, that your liberty is on the brink of destruction, is the phrase that he used. And he was specifically talking about the Second Amendment in that case. And so if we don't limit government, they will limit our liberty and eventually get rid of it. It's literally that simple. And if we will put the time and the money and the energy into getting back to a good constitutional governance, should the Lord tarry, I think God can bless us with another 250 years of being an amazing nation. But if we don't, we're going to be just like most civilizations that fall apart at 250 years. I mean, that's, you know, Rabbi Lapin's got a great paper on this where he shows all the big civilizations in history and they fell apart at about 240 to 260. So about an average of 250 years because of the nature of man, you know, good times make soft men and soft men lead you back into tough times. And so we have a choice here. We can let some of the tough times, just like you guys are facing in Virginia right now, make us tough again, where we'll get in and do the hard work, start studying, start teaching other people, start showing up at the, you know, legislative hearings, the school board meetings, all those things, the elections, everything. We'll start doing that hard work again, and then we can get back into some good times. And it's going to be very telling, Bishop, what happens over the next year and a half. Does this 250th wake us up and we get to celebrate the nation and get another 250 years, or do we sleep through this thing and go the way of most nations in history and decay at 250 years? And I'm praying for the first one. I really do see signs of life. I get to speak to groups all over the country like you do, where you see that energy, you know, and you can tell people are waking up, man. There's something different happening. course, I can see it in the youth. I see God raising up a remnant that is just incredible, man. These kids are amazing that I get to work with. And so that gives me great hope. And so I'm a little bit spoiled probably because I get to see that spark in the next generation, this whole generation of Charlie Kirks that we're raising up. And so I would encourage everybody listening today, just know that that's out there. And if you go to our website, you can watch some of the videos. You will be encouraged by what you see these kids doing.
Well, look, you've given some, and I've heard some of them, some absolutely fascinating talks in about our history, and I consider myself to be, look, you and David Barton, you guys are professionals. I'm an amateur historian, but I love American history. But I listen to you, and I always hear things. I say, well, I didn't know that. Do you have any of that? Is it on video? Is it on, you know, can people go to the website and hear some of the talks you've given about various aspects of history?
Yeah, yeah, it's all on the website there, patriotacademy.com. And the best thing to do is just take that biblical citizenship class. It's called Biblical Citizenship in Modern America. It's 8 weeks, and it is chock full of everything you're talking about. It's really, there's a reason we've been able to put 2 million people through it. I mean, people get entertained, they get empowered, they go do things, and then they get other people to come back and take the class the next time around. It's the best way to really learn.
So patriotacademy.com is the website, and that's headquarters central. That's where you go to get find out about Patriot Academy, to get more information, to see these videos, all of that.
That's right. That's right.
Well, brother, you are not only praying, you're working, and I know Amen. How hard you're working. So keep it up. God bless you. And by the way, save Texas for us, okay? We have to have
yes,
a place
sir.
Of refuge.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, brother. In fact, tonight we're doing a thing at the campus with, you know, Bill Federer. I think you just had him on on this call a few weeks ago. And with Bill and Frank Gaffney. I think you know Frank as well.
Yeah,
he was Undersecretary of Defense. Yeah, great guy. We're having both of them at our campus tonight to talk about what to do about Sharia. You know, and I know you've been on that for a while too.
Yeah.
And yep, we got to save Texas, man.
Okay, man. Well, listen, thanks so much, Rick. It's been great.
You
appreciate
bet.
You. God bless you, brother. I'm sure our paths are going to cross along the trail.
Right back at you. Thanks for all you're doing. We'll see you soon.
All right. God bless. Folks, you've got to, if you're not familiar with Rick Green, you haven't checked out Patriot Academy, I encourage you to do so. By the way, I should have said this while he was on the call, but he is really one of the most entertaining and fascinating speakers I've ever heard, because the guy is chock full of information. He presents it in a fun way, in an interesting way, and you'll just learn a lot if you connect to him. So I really recommend that you do that. I want to remind you all before we go, and by the way, you know, we didn't get any questions, but I know probably all of you were thinking of questions. So I hope that some of the questions I asked and some of the things you said answered maybe any questions you might have had that you didn't bother to chime in on it and to ask yourselves. And I hope everything is working, because, you know, press *6, you should come up in the queue. So I didn't see any questions in the queue. And maybe, I hope I didn't miss anybody. No, I don't think so. Look, May 12th, we're having our Stand Awards dinner. May 12th, I'll be announcing next week. I believe next week I'll be announcing our honorees. But we got a great lineup of honorees that's coming together so beautifully. And I hope that all of you will attend. It's going to be at the Tysons Corner Marriott, of course, in Tysons, Virginia. That's in Northern Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. Not in Washington, right outside of Washington, still in Virginia. And it's going to begin at 7 o'clock for the dinner, 6 p.m. for a sponsor's reception, if you've done what is needed to be able to attend that. But again, that's Tuesday, May the 12th. We need your prayers. We need your support. This is our largest fundraiser of the year, our most significant event of the year, and it really portends what's going to happen for the rest of the year. It's where we give our annual report, we do a whole bunch of things, so I hope that all of you will come. Tickets are not yet on sale, but they will be shortly. We're planning to get tickets up on sale probably by the middle of this month, so within a week or so, I hope to have tickets online and available to you. But again, pray for us, support us, help us. Because remember, we are doing something that no other organization is dedicated to doing. Now, there are lots of organizations that touch on this, but we are dedicated to this, bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian values as one nation under God. I don't know whether you all caught Joy Reid's commentary or heard about it, but she denounced Nicki Minaj and called Nicki Minaj a pet, a racial pet. And that she was operating in blackface because she attended a TPS Turning Point USA event and spoke there, and because she has encouraged and supported President Trump in doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is securing our borders, improving our economy, defending our people around the world, and defending decency. I mean, he is the only person, the only world leader in the world, the only leader in the world who is actually pointing out the slaughter of Christians in Nigeria by these radical Muslims. Everybody else is silent. President Trump has spoken up and said this has to stop. 7,000 Christians murdered. I forget what the time frame is, but I think over the time they've been doing this, they've killed about 100,000 Christians. And this is just a slaughter that begs someone to speak with moral clarity. And nobody is saying a word except for President Trump. And they call him a racist. Well, who are Nigerians? They're black people. So who's President Trump? Whose lives is he trying to save? He's trying to save the lives of black people. Yet, oh, no, he's a racist. I mean, it's just preposterous. We are addressing that whole issue of using the racial construct as a way of manipulating people emotionally and getting people to stop thinking and just start responding. Oh, President Trump's a racist. Oh, well, I hate him. I can't stand him. Well, what has he done? What has he done? It's racist. Well, I don't know. You know, it's propaganda. Look, President Trump is no more perfect than you are or I am. But I think this man is committed to serving our country and benefiting our people, all of our people, regardless of their race, regardless of their background. I just think that's the only people he's not interested in benefiting are people who are criminals, people who are out hurting other people, illegal aliens who are out hurting Americans and robbing and raping and killing and all of that. Now those people, he's not for them, but he's for the American people. And we have got to address this issue of using racial division to manipulate people. As I've said, and I hope that you all will receive this analogy in the spirit in which I say it, because I say it prophetically. I don't mean to say it bombastically, but to say it prophetically. The spirit of the Democrat Party has not changed. It was the party of slavery before the Civil War. It remained the party of slavery after the Civil War. It is still the party of slavery today, except that the slavery is not physical. It is now psychological. But the result is in effect the same, using people to benefit oneself at their expense. That's exactly what they're doing with all the people they call, quote unquote, people of color. They lie to you. They manipulate you. They present themselves as your saviors. Donald Trump is out hunting down brown people to get them out of the country. Well, look, it just so happens that the majority of people who invaded the country under the Biden regime and came across the border illegally happened to be people from South America. Most of those people happen to be brown skinned. But President Trump is not after them because they're brown skinned. He's after them because they're here illegally. And I wouldn't care personally whether they're Irish or Italian or German. If you're here illegally, you may not stay. Period. That's not racist. It's responsible. I mean, the same way if somebody came and it crashed through the door of your house and you kicked them out, and somebody said, you only kick that person out if you happen to be black, and you kick the person out, they happen to be white, they say, well, the only reason you kicked them out is because they were white. You would say, actually, no. I kicked them out because they had no business in my house. And the color of their skin didn't matter. But see, this is how you manipulate people, and you get people to stop thinking and just emote. And we've got to address that. That's what Stand is committed to doing. Look, Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Now, Jesus didn't lie. And when Jesus spoke, every word he spoke was true. Now, that means if we're going to get, as Rick Green said, through 250 and beyond, we have got to end the division that the left is trying to stoke in our country to keep us at each other's throats, so that instead of enjoying and prospering with the liberty that we have, that God gave us, that our Constitution and our country has recognized better than any other nation on earth, instead of enjoying that, we fight each other. I mean, you hear Americans now saying that they think we're going to have a civil war. Well, not a racial war, but that element will be in it, but a civil war between these conflicting ideas. But that's, I think, the left wants that mindset out there, because then they can step in and say, oh, we're your saviors. We will help you. What do you need Jesus for? Here, we're here. You know, all we need you to do is riot for us when we tell you to, vote when we tell you to, the way we tell you to, and we'll provide you with all the welfare and all the food stamps and all the bennies and all the affirmative action and all the DEI. We will just reward you. We are very, very good to our slaves. Now, I know, folks, that's ugly and it's stark, but it's real. I mean, slavery is not just about physically capturing people. It is about psychologically capturing people and then using them for one's own benefit. And that is exactly what we've got happening with the left in general, with the Democrat Party specifically, which is why they hate people like me and Alan West and Star Parker and Ken Blackwell. And the list goes on. Those just happen to be the people I think of off the top of my head. But they hate us. People like, you know, the folks who will speak their mantra, they love them. But, you know, is that any different? Is that any different than the racists who would say, oh, I like those because they're the good ones. I don't like these over here because they're not good. Generally meaning that they do what I want them to do. They think the way I want them to think. They speak the way I want them to speak. I like them. But these over here, oh, no, I don't like them, because they think they have the right to speak for themselves and think for themselves and chart their own course in life and do what they want to do. No. We're not having that. They exist to serve my interests. And when they're doing that, boy, they're the good ones. Now, that's exactly what we've got in our country. You know, Judeo-Christian values respond to all that, because you know how each of us is going to answer to God, folks, as individuals. Nobody is going to stand before God and say, no, whoa, wait a minute, God, wait a minute. You know, don't you, that I'm black. You know, don't I'm Hispanic. You know, I'm Irish, and you know what they did to the Irish. You know, I'm Jewish. You know what they did to the Jews. No. Every single one of us is going to stand before God as an individual and give an account for the deeds that we did in the body. And we're not going to be able to make excuses on the basis of our racial pedigree or our ethnic or ancestral background. See, that's a Judeo-Christian principle. Every person takes responsibility for his or her own life, your own family, your own responsibility, and we support and help one another voluntarily, not because the government has commanded us to, or because somebody says, well, now, Bishop Jackson, you've got too much. We're going to take some of what you've got, and we're going to give it over here because we think that's best. I can make that decision, certainly, but you don't get to make it. The government doesn't get to make it for me, because that's robbing me of my labor. That's robbing me of what I have worked to create. And, you know, Rick Green was saying it, you know, I'll end with this. If people had a revelation, they'd be thanking God every day that they're Americans, every single day, because we have more freedom, more opportunity, more hope, more possibility, more to pass on to our loved ones than any other nation anywhere on earth. That's why you don't have a mass exodus from this country. People complain, they whine, but I tell you what, they don't leave because they're not going to find any place better to live. And instead of doing what the Constitution says we're supposed to do, which is make it a more perfect union, they want to rip it apart. They want to tear us. They want to tear it at the seams. And we've got to stand up for them. That's what Stand is doing. We are standing up to that mindset. I believe, I think you all know this, God gave us the United States of America. And people want to talk about slavery and talk about, well, they stole the land from the Indians and all that. Now, you know, I don't have time to get into all that. I have a whole speech that I do on all that. But the point is, this nation could not have arisen without the foreknowledge and foreordaining of Almighty God. It's not possible. The Bible says the nations are as a drop in the bucket to him. He raises up one and puts down another. You think America just kind of happened and God looked up one day and said, wow, that's interesting. How in the world did that happen? Or that America is this evil nation that is characterized only by slavery and by abuse of Native Americans and that's all there is to it, and yet God allowed this nation to become the greatest nation on earth? The Bible says righteousness exalts the nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. If we became the greatest nation on earth, which we are, we must have done something right. Or that's that verse in, I think that's Proverbs 14:34, if I'm not mistaken. That verse is a lie. Because that means America was exalted by wickedness. Have we been perfect? Absolutely not. Are you? Am I? Have you been blessed in spite of your imperfections? You most certainly have. I know I have. And obviously we're better blessed when we try to do what is right, as our country tried to do what is right. You know, we are the most charitable nation on earth. We give more in charity than all the other nations of the world combined. And I'm not talking about the government, what the government gives. I'm talking about what we as individuals give to charities here at home and abroad. We are the ones who respond when there are major calamities in other parts of the world. Again, not the government. The government does some things, of course. The government steps in. But I'm talking about the American people who step in to try to make sure people are fed, to try to make sure that their homes are rebuilt, to try to make sure that they come through disaster. We often suffer because people commit fraud while we're trying to help people. Others step in and see an opportunity to steal money, and sadly, that does sometimes happen. But it does not in any way invalidate the generosity of the American people. Where does that come from? It comes from our Judeo-Christian values and principles. And that's what Stand is dedicated to. Help us. Go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us. You can give now. Like I said, tickets for the awards dinner will be up soon. You can do that. You can sponsor. Of course, we're going to be looking for sponsors. We had 33 last year. I'm hoping to get to 40 this year because we're going to keep going, but we can't do it without your help. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing and participating in what we're doing. And you all know what we've got to do. Rick Green is doing it, and you're doing it, and I'm doing it. Let's just keep doing it. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.